Well, shout amen if you're free. Amen. There we go. She just had to end on amen in a quiet zone. I've been back here the whole time. I'll remember it this time. Praise God. Amen. Hallelujah. We are free. We're free from those chains that bound us to the things of yesterday. You know, the Imperials way back. Some of you have no idea who I'm even talking about. And I'm not talking about the Chrysler. I'm talking about the group, the Imperials, from the 70s. They sang a song called Praise the Lord. A few of you know who I'm talking about. Praise the Lord, because when you lift your hands and praise Him, the chains that bind you fall behind you, powerless. And that the only thing that those chains represent anymore is that they're going to keep falling when you praise God. So no matter what your situation is today, praise Him. Find something to praise Him. And if you can't, take a step out in the parking lot and look at the sky. Praise Him, because that is beautiful. I told Phil, or not Phil, but Joe back there, we were standing in there just looking around, and I said, you know, I ain't going to lie, I'm the preacher, and I thought about playing hooky this morning. I said, it's gorgeous out there. I sat on our little porch right outside our bedroom, drank our coffee. I told Angela, I said, this was so beautiful and relaxing. The air's perfect. We have farmers who are having to try to finish up their crops and their business. So things got to get done. But anyhow, but praise God, we are free from guilt and condemnation. Free from trying to live a life full of rules and regulations. Yeah, there's things we don't do, right? You know, hey, I can drive fast, but there's a reason why I shouldn't. My truck's only built for so fast. And I'm going to tell you right now, folks, the other day I had to resist the urge. I got passed by a Corvette. I'm in a 35 running 45, and I get passed by a vet. Everything in me, my foot, my right foot just started going down. And I set the cruise and just let it go. It's like, it's not worth it, not worth it. But I ain't kidding. It was tempting. Not exactly a smart thing to do. Being tempted is not wrong. You know, unfortunately, the church has taught for so long that if you were tempted, you sinned. No. If that's the case, Jesus sinned. He was tempted every way we could be tempted. To speed, to cheat, to steal, to lie, whatever. So let those chains rest behind you from now on. Quit picking them up. Don't go back to them. We're going to talk a little bit about this today. But don't go back to them. You're free. Amen? Let's bless the tithe and offering. Our Heavenly Father, we thank You and we praise You, Lord God, that we are free. Your word says, whom the Son sets free, He is free indeed. That means there is nothing to hold us back. And in my opinion, that means we have the title deed to our lives. No longer does anything else have the right to control us. So, Father, we thank You and praise You for that. And, Lord, we present to You today our tithes and our offerings. We bless them, Lord. We thank You that we are able to give them. And, Lord, and that this church will remain and that other lives will be changed and affected because of this. I thank You and praise You, Lord, for Your promises and Your word. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, you may be seated and the super kids are dismissed. You know, the downside to weather like this is knowing when to stop. I don't know what it is about when it's summer, we feel we got to work until it's dark. Wintertime, 4:30, we're done. Because it's dark. And one thing, Angela, you know, we talked about and said, this year, not going to work until dark anymore. Now, the other night I was mowing, but that was so I could keep a promise of taking her garage sailing on Friday. Mowing with one headlight. But praise God. You know, we are so free from thinking we have to do things anymore just because somebody said we have to. You know, I know people that they're so caught up on how things look. You know, listen, you can ask my wife, I can be the biggest jerk when it comes to things being trim, proper, right place, and all that stuff. You can go overboard. So much so that people just want to bounce you off the deck a few times. And, you know, I remember when I got my first newer car, how I treated it. Man, I washed and waxed it every Saturday. It didn't need it, but I did it. And then when a football bounced off of it at the church, boy, I just went nuts, to my shame. The Nerf didn't hurt my hood. And if it had, I know both boys' parents, they would have fixed the hood. But how I reacted was a little stupid. Because I had it in my head, because I've always been told, you know, you got to look good, got to look good. You know what? I'm tired of looking good for people. Especially people that don't like me. I don't care. I just don't care. And as a matter of fact, I am taking this off because I know the AC's on, but it's hot. My T-shirt will absorb my sweat eventually. But the Lord, we were talking about several things today or the other day, and Angela's like, you know, what about this, this? And I said, well, yeah, and I had some things I wanted to talk about. And so finally, the one thing God did settle me down on goes hand in hand with the things behind us. We all remember what we left behind, don't we? I don't care who you are and who you claim to be, you remember. You know, there are things I know the exact day I did them. And it's like, dear God, can I not forget that? No, you will not forget it. But if you keep going back to, just as I talked about those chains that bind us, they bind us to that day. No longer, just because you remember something doesn't mean you're chained to that day. It's when you dwell on it. It's when you let that hold you back. Well, they said I was stupid. Well, who cares what they said? You do know some of the richest men in the world do not have college degrees. Who cares? Dreams mean more in my book. And so there's so much stuff that we hold on to, but, you know, particularly in the ministry as Christians, we're called to go out and tell people about Jesus, aren't we? Now, here's my problem with what the modern-day church has done. We get evangelism teams together, and we go out and we beat people up on the street. I was a part of it once. Hated every minute of it. Not only did I not care about the people, really, it was just a numbers game. Boom, 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 boom. I'm not necessarily let's run through the numbers type of person. God, send me to the person you need me to talk to. Send me to the person that needs me. Or maybe I need them. But send me to that person. See, we try to teach people, go out, you just got to get out. And yeah, that's all great and fine and dandy. But like I said, the one particular group I went out with, they trained us right, do you know you're going to hell? That was your opening line. And I had no clue what to say when the guy said yes. So, I wasn't trained for that question or that answer. So, the truth of the matter is, people don't care how much you know until they know how much you actually care about them. You got somebody in your life who keeps rejecting you, right? I'm pretty sure you do. Everybody does. They keep pushing Jesus. They don't want your Jesus. They don't want your religion. They keep pushing you further and further away. Well, it's because, first off, you need to show them how much you care and you love them as a person, not as a goal. We've turned people into goals. I don't care if this church busts out of Mount Gilead. I really don't. There was a time in life where I was like, plus God, 1,000 people. bless God, 1,000 people? Really? You can do more effectively with a smaller group of people who are better trained and who are real and have life-changing, a true life-changing moment. You can accomplish so much more than you can if we had a church of 10,000. I want to look at some things this morning. Let's go to Matthew chapter 10. See, we aren't the only ones who are having issues with that. The disciples had issues with it. Jesus had issues. He didn't have an issue, but he had to deal with it. Chapter 10, let's go to verse 11. It says, "Now whatever city or town you enter, inquire who in it is worthy and stay there until you go out." In other words, go in and ask who is a pious or a godly person. Okay? That's what he was saying. Go in and find somebody who's got a good reputation, and that's who you go and stay with. He's sending out his disciples. "And when you go into a household, greet it. And if the household is worthy, let your peace come upon it. But if it is not worthy, let your peace return to you." In other words, leave. They don't want you there. Leave. Real simple. Now, "And whoever will not receive you nor hear your words when you depart from that house or city, shake off the dust from your feet. Assuredly, I say to you, it will be more tolerable for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for that city." Now, here's what I've heard people preaching, and I think this is totally wrong, because there's no grace in judgment. Judgment's final. That's it. He said, shake the dust off your feet and go on. Don't take the garbage with you. You're going to have the memory, but don't be chained to the rejection. That's what he's saying. It's metaphorically pretty much what he's saying. I've seen people walk out and actually do that out of churches. Dude, just grow up. You're more spiritual than you're any good. And so anyhow, he's not telling us to go to a city or go to a household and try to tell them about Jesus, and then when they reject us, to walk out. There's a word called Ichabod. It means, is it God has left? Or yeah, God has departed. There was a preacher one time, he was talking about this. Was he at the church? Was he preaching? I can't remember if he was preaching, but he was there. And anyhow, and there was this real religious woman in the church. And she didn't like him. She didn't like whatever was being preached. She didn't like what was going on, and which they were trying to free people, get them free. People don't like that. They don't want people free. They like them in chains. And I believe it's in the Old Testament. It talks about the word Ichabod be written upon it, and it means God has departed. And she walked out the door, and in a real loud voice, overrode everything, said, "God has written Michelob upon these doors." And so to say that she was religious in the wrong sense is absolutely correct, because she has no grasp on what grace is. Jesus did not teach us at this point to shake our dust off our feet and say a curse over them, present a curse over the city or over those people. That is not what he was doing at all. If they continue to reject Jesus, it will be more tolerable for Sodom and Gomorrah than it will be for them. Why? Because they will have the knowledge of knowing they rejected Jesus. They had the opportunity. Sodom and Gomorrah did not. They didn't have Jesus. They didn't have that grace. They had Lot. And in my opinion, he was a little dirty himself. That's my opinion. I know people say, don't go in and start picking up. I'm just telling you what I see. He chose the best land. It wasn't his. It was his uncle's. He tagged along on somebody else's blessing, somebody else's work. And then when he gets in there, he offers up his two daughters to a bunch of perverts. But yet they did say, this one comes in here, he's been preaching to us the whole time. He's been telling them their justice is wrong. Their lifestyles are wrong. God agreed. A lot of people agreed. That's why the cry went up to God. So God, Jesus is not telling us to bring judgment to people. We're not called to bring judgment. I don't want judgment to fall. People don't understand. When judgment falls, it's over. It's done. Those people are separated from God forever. No chance of redemption. It's done. We do not want judgment to fall on our family and loved ones, do we? I want God's grace to fall in their lives. That's why I pray for them. They're doing things. They're going to hang themselves in their own garbage. But I pray that they get straightened up before it's too late. Now, let's jump over to Luke. Luke chapter 9, go to verse 51. And now it came to pass, when the time had come for him to be received up, in other words, he was going to be crucified, that he steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem. In other words, he had a goal. He was going from point A to point B. But to go to point A to point B, he had to go to C, D, E, and F. Well, he was going to point G, actually. I guess now that I think about it. And he sent messengers before his face, and as they went, they entered a village of the Samaritans to prepare for him. But they did not receive him. Is there any surprise? The Samaritans and the Jews did not get along. The Jews did not recognize the Samaritans hardly as people. So of course they're not going to recognize him. They're not going to celebrate him. But they did not receive him because his face was set for the journey to Jerusalem. In other words, he knew he wasn't to stop there. He was to continue on, but they went ahead and rejected him anyhow. And when his disciples, James and John, saw this, they said, Lord, do you want us to command fire to come down from heaven and consume them just as Elijah did? They want to bring judgment, don't they? They're there, they are there to execute judgment on these people who are technically descendants of Abraham. They worship the same God. They really did. They just believed that the temple was in their land, not in Jerusalem. Who cares? That's why I think God is, you guys fight. Today, you guys fight over the stupidest things. What color the drape should be? What color should the seats be? What color should... We get what we can afford and what looks good. Thank you very much. We won't ever vote on that. But there are churches that they argue over this. There are churches when they go into building projects, they split. Church project on hold because the church split. It's stupid stuff. They argued over stupid stuff too. But now the disciples want to call down fire to consume the entire village instead of extending God's grace. And I love what Jesus had to say. This is why I do not agree with bringing judgment. But he turned and rebuked them and said, you do not know what manner of spirit you are of, for the Son of Man did not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them. Jesus did not come to kill people. Cut and dry. He didn't do it. Neither should we. See, this is where we've allowed religion to creep into the church way back in the day when, you know, particularly the Catholic Church was the power in the world. They had an army. The Pope didn't like you as king. He took you out of power if you didn't pay him. And that's what it boiled down to. But they would go into these lands, and if the people did not convert, they killed them. It wasn't a whole lot different when we came over here. Listen, if the Indians were willing to be peaceful, let's get along. And for a while, they were able to do this. But you start getting more greed, and people with this mindset, you don't believe me, believe the way I do, I will kill you. How is that any different than a terrorist? You know, I know people who are, they claim to be atheists, but I think somewhere along the line in their hearts, something happened and they got burned by a Christian who claimed to be a godly person and acted like the devil. We shouldn't be out to see what we can get out of people. There's so much stuff going on in the world today that I think God just wants to shake us all. If he could just universally grab us all by the shoulders and just shake us violently for a minute, rearrange our brain housing group, stop what you're doing. But we're more focused on building this, building that. We got to have the biggest church. We got to have the grandest church. Don't care if we do. I really don't. I love this church. I love you guys. We've put a lot of sweat, blood, and sometimes tears into this building. I know there's a lot of blood. And the tears came from the crud cutter we sprayed on the ceiling. But you see, this is just a building. That's it. This isn't even where we're supposed to be ministering. Each day, you may have the opportunity. If you work alone by yourself a lot, what alone means, pray. Take the opportunities to pray. Well, I got to stop what I'm doing. No, you don't. I can talk to my wife and work in my workshop. I don't have to stop. She can come out and talk to me. It gets a little noisy, so she usually doesn't stay long. But, or it's freezing. But she can come out and talk to me, and I can talk to her and be working. Yeah, it's called multitasking. We can all do it. We can all walk and chew bubble gum at the same time. And if you can't, we will start teaching you. It's not that difficult. So you can pray. Pray when you're driving down the road. Somebody, you know, God doesn't just drop somebody's name into your heart for no reason. Pray for them. They may need you right then and there to be praying. There's been people I've thought of hadn't thought of for years, and all of a sudden, man, their name pops up. Boom, boom, boom. I have no idea where they were at, but I just, okay, I'm going to pray. And some of these people were people that rejected God. That we would just as soon say, we're out of judgment. It's what you get. It's what you deserve. You didn't take Jesus when you had the chance. As long as you're still alive, there's always the chance. Don't ever stop believing. When he said, shake the dust off your feet, he wasn't saying, get offended, call down judgment, and never talk to him again. I mean, come on. How stupid can we be and still breathe oxygen? God's love is for all of us. That's it. For you, it's for me, it's for them. It was for Muhammad. It was for Gandhi. We need to be better people. And I agree with the one atheist that I happen to know, who's a family member, keeps posting all this stuff, and some of it, I don't know who said them, if they actually did, but one of the sayings is, if you have to have a deity tell you to be a good person, and this other person is just a good person without your deity, I would trust their character more than yours. I would have to agree with that. I would have to agree with that. I never, even when I didn't care about people like I do now, I never intentionally went out to harm people. I was never out looking how I could screw somebody over. But yet, I know Christians, they do that. They go from church to church. Boom, boom, boom. And unfortunately, I've had the opportunity to be in churches where people like that came, so I can tell their type. So I apologize to you now if you think I'm standoffish about not promoting people to certain places and doing this and that and the other. I'm actually doing it to protect everybody. Just all there is to it. Because I've seen people. We had our pastor in North Carolina. Woman started coming to church there for a while. Just got involved in everything right off the bat. Her and her husband both got involved in all kinds of things within the church. She became a prophetess. And then she led the mutiny to take over the church. It's like, yep. Could have told you that one was coming. If you sit back and look at all the signs, it was there. So here's what I tell you. If anybody ever comes to you and starts talking about me, tell them to come to me. You got a question? Come to me and ask. I think I've lived a pretty much open book here. But I just, I mean, learn to let go of that stuff. But I'm a little, I can't lie, I'm a little leery sometimes when I see people that want to be promoted. Well, I'll tell you what, if you can't change diapers, don't be seeking a promotion yet. If you can't clean the toilets, don't be seeking a promotion. Well, I don't think I ought to be cleaning toilets. You know, after all, bless God, I am a prophet. Yeah, and I'm a U.S. Marine, and that's how they broke me in. Handed me a scrub brush and said, there's the bathroom, or the head. I had to get used to that word. I got to go, bath, nope, I got to go to the head. Then I had to request permission to go. 19 years ago, I'm on my own. Now suddenly I got to request permission to go. Go in there and clean it. Get on your hands and knees and you sweep the floor with that scrub brush. And then you scrub the toilets. Mix big buckets of Pine Sol and water and throw them on everything. Makes for a quick, easy job, I promise you. Just don't mix bleach with it. Bad things will happen to you. See, if people aren't willing to love down here, they aren't going to love up here. Every person that God promoted to a disciple, they were the base of society. Fishermen were looked down upon. Carpenters were looked down upon. Tax collectors were looked down upon. Doctors were looked down upon. Everybody he chose was doing something for somebody else. Somebody had to fish, but not everybody wanted to smell like fish. Somebody had to build the houses and the buildings, but they didn't want to do all that hard labor. Somebody had to collect the taxes. I mean, God told them that's what was going to happen if they rejected him. And even the doctors. They weren't trying to kill people. They were really trying to help them. They just had very limited knowledge. So if you've had failures with talking to your family, don't give up on them. Just let that go and love them anyhow. And like I said, folks, there are people, I understand, you have to push away from. You got to pray for them from afar, especially when they're extremely toxic. When every word out of their mouth is a lie, be careful. I just tell you straight up. So many other people, oh, just go in and love, just hug on them. No, thank you. Get close enough, they will put a literal knife in my back. The proverbial has been in there a few times, so we'll just love you from afar. God didn't call you to go down and have to knock on every door. You're not a Jehovah's Witness. I let the Jehovah's Witness in my house the last time because I worked with him. I'd worked with him years ago. One of the nicest guys I'd ever met. I mean, above all. This man was patient to a fault. Jovial. Between him and me, I don't know how we got anything done. And I'd like to say he was my age, but he was just a hair bit younger than my dad. Let him in. I wasn't home when he showed back up to ask if we'd read the information. But you don't have to go knocking on doors. You don't have to go riding your bicycle down the road. Go to the store. Plenty of people at Walmart. I mean, seriously, have you been in there? It's kind of depressing sometimes. Nah. You don't have to go too far to find somebody who needs a smile, a hug, a handshake, a good morning. You know, those little things can open up conversations like you wouldn't believe. The other morning, we were having breakfast, and I saw an old jarhead come in. And I sat there, and he sat over in the corner by himself. I don't even know what his name is. I've seen him before, but don't know his name. And I just felt things in me telling him to come over and sit next to me. Now, I didn't have anything on that day that identified me as a Marine, but and I didn't. I do regret not calling him over. But Phil knew him and was talking to him way out the door, and I said, "Hey, Semper Fi Marine." And he grabbed my hand and said, "Is that your red truck out front?" I said, "Yeah." You know, big old Semper Fi Dallas in the back window. Folks, the platform that I have with that is it's easy. It's almost ridiculous how easy it is. Just like that. What do you have? Look at people. Be a studier of people. There's our problem. You know, listen, if folks got tattoos, guess what? I'm looking. Why did you put it on there if you didn't want people to see it? If you didn't want people to see it, it's in an area where they can't see it. Right? And sometimes the tattoos will tell you a story. Particularly if there's military markings on them. They make great opportunities for you to talk to somebody. Whatever it is you've got, sports. Man, you might be on the Cavs roll. I told Angela the other night they were going to win. Of course they were. They had to. We got to keep the money going. If you can't play like that the first couple of games, it's all, I'm sorry. Beat them like you did the Celtics. That's all there is to it. But you got things you can talk to people about. Jesus went in knowing they were going to reject him because he didn't recognize them and they didn't recognize him. Yeah, I think I said that right. Don't worry about what you're going to say. Hey, I like that hat. I stopped a guy yesterday out in the country. I drove Angela by this house and said, "You got to see this window where they put it." I said, "I'm thinking about doing this on our house." And she's like, "I want to see this first." And I drove by and I'm creeping by this guy's house real slow and he comes out. I just stopped the truck, put the window down. "Hey, I'm just admiring your window. It looks great, man." He came over and just started talking. Telling us that it was his parents' house, his grandparents, maybe his great-grandparents' house. So he'd been there for a while. And, you know, that's all it took. That was all that it took. You can talk to people about all kinds of things. And you can even get God in there without getting religious. I had a guy stop by the house a couple years ago. I was doing some work in the yard. He stops by and he says, "Hey, you seen any geese around here?" I said, no. Okay. Well, he pulls out this great big old wad of tracks. He says, well, here, I don't want you to have this. You could have actually probably stood and talked to me for a few minutes more before you handed that to me, but I threw it away. One, I already know Jesus, and it was a trashed track. When you pull a track out of your pocket, make sure it don't look like it's been in your pocket for a year. And don't leave them in the bathroom. We do not touch them. If it's sitting on the urinal, I don't care if the top of the urinal's up here. There are some guys who do some weird stuff. Just saying. We aren't going to pick up a urinal even if it looks like a $100 bill. Oh, and by the way, if you're one of those people who gets those tracks that looks like a dollar bill or a 20 and leave that for your tip, I will pray God spanks you when you walk out this door. You want to speak into their life? Double the tip. They'll remember you the next time, I promise. Well, I didn't get good service. So what? It's a seed into somebody's life who's probably struggling. They probably got two kids at home. They're working three jobs. Their spouse is working. Or maybe flew the coop. Quit being about me. Ask God, how can I bless somebody? That's all you got to do. They'll know you're a Christian by your love, not by the size of the cross around your neck or the big old fish on the back of your car. You know we started a war when we started that, right? We came out with the fish. Darwinism came out with the fish with legs. Christians came back with the fish with the cross eating the Darwin fish. It's just marketing. That's all it is. How about we market love and just start showing it? You go out, be a pleasant person to be around. Leave a tip. Open doors for people. Let them go first. Imagine that. It's not that hard to hold a door open. You'd be surprised how many elderly people I see trying to get through doors with walkers and stuff, and people just standing there. And the guy or the woman's trying to get through the door. It's like, first off, your overweight butt needs to go the other direction. You don't need to go in. Sorry. I know we need to eat. I'm just stating we got to start thinking about other people before we think about taking care of ourselves. There's time to take care of ourselves. And we need that time, don't we? We got to have that time. If we don't take the time to take care of ourselves, we won't be able to take care of others. Jesus got away every evening. He went up in the mountains. And what he did up there, I have no idea. Maybe he just went up here, had a nice cave with a smooth rock, a little babbling brook outside. Ask God how to help. Don't get judgmental of people. All right, let's stand. I think it's a record. Not one I want to make a habit of, but you can shake the dust off. Don't shake the love off. Hold on to it. Kick off the rejection and keep moving. As Jesus said, or as Jesus did, he went to the next village. It didn't bother him one bit. Don't let it bother you. They're not rejecting you, they're rejecting Jesus. And if they reject you, you're probably better off without them. I'm just saying. They didn't love you anyhow. I've had people come into my life and all they wanted was what I could do for them. But when I tried to actually help them, Well, they didn't want the help that would deliver them. They wanted the other stuff I could do for them. But does that mean that I stop doing what I can do for people? The other day we were having lunch and I said something. I don't remember what I'd done. And I said, they didn't even enjoy what I did for them. Can you believe that? I said, I won't do anything good for anybody else ever again. And I knew where they were going, so that's why I went there. And obviously I'm just kidding, but people have got to realize sometimes you got to just keep going. As Dory says, just keep swimming, just keep swimming. And if you've never seen Finding Nemo, that went way over your head. You need to watch Finding Nemo, and then watch Finding Dory. I'm telling you, folks, if you're one of those that say, I don't watch cartoons, there's more adult stuff in those cartoons. And I mean, you'll get it. Yeah. Although there's a few that I've learned have some other things in them now. Disgruntled employees. Bad for movies. All right, let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you and we praise you for this glorious day. Lord, we pray for all of our farmers and for the people that are working today. Lord, we pray that you help them to get their jobs accomplished. We bless them, Father. And Lord, I thank you for that you bless those who are traveling as well. Give them mercies. And Father, we thank you and praise you for your word. Lord, we thank you, Jesus, for what you said about just shaking the dust off and moving on. Lord, help us to shake off the dust of rejection from people and keep moving. We will continue to move and we will continue to stand and represent you with everything that is in us. And now, Lord, I thank you for these people. I bless them, Father. I thank you that as they go out, they will go out blessed. As they go in, they will go in blessed. Lord, I thank you that that blessing will come upon them, Father, and that they will actually see it happening as they are there. In Jesus' name, amen.